Senator Kevin Cramer, who joins us most Fridays for the Talk Radio Town Hall. Thanks for doing this today on a crazy day, Kevin.
Well, it's an honor to do it anytime I can, and I apologize that lately it's been hard to do it because I've been traveling a fair bit. As you know, I've been to a Space Force base, and followed by a large Air Force base the next weekend.
Well, just so you know, we'll give you grace when you're going to places that help defend the United States of America. Well, so anytime it has to happen.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we'll still try to weave them in whenever, even in those cases, Scott. As you know, we just have to get more creative. But so anyway, this is great for me to be able to do this. And with regard to the personal question about security, and I've not even read my own media today because I noticed there's a lot out there on this discussion, because I did a number of interviews yesterday and had the last couple of days on this issue of political violence and this issue of, you know, even the security of members of Congress, and particularly senators who, you know, walk in a pretty high profile job. And I've been pretty open that this is why I love this format, because Scott, we can do this for as many hours as you and I are available to do it, and people can tolerate it and not be exposed or vulnerable in terms of the public. But right now I know of at least two people who have been arrested by federal officials as a result of death threats on me. One in North Dakota and one in Texas. And that's just me. I mean, I'm probably the least of the, you know, threatened, if you will, members of the United States Senate. And that changes a lot of things. It changes, including, by the way, our discourse, right? It changes our ability to be as accessible as we like to be in places even like North Dakota. It changes how you put out your calendar. People probably have noticed that I don't put out a public calendar early in the week anymore like I used to do, and it's been a while since I've done that. But it's just different. It's uncomfortable. I don't like it very much. I mean, there's talk now. There's been work between the federal agencies and then state police agencies on having a memorandum of understanding. A lot of North Dakota agencies do that with the Capitol Police, for example, but one that's become really formalized. State security paid for by the federal government that would include up to, you know, six officers on a member of the Senate that would be rotated on a regular basis. And I see that, I hear that, and I want to quit. I don't want three security officers following me around on my lawnmower. I love my lawnmower. I really like that downtime of doing manual labor in my yard, and I don't want to worry about it. I'm grateful that the Burleigh County Sheriff's Department drives by more often. I'm grateful to have a personal relationship with all, you know, a lot of our sheriffs.
Just so you know. We worry about it when you move rocks, but that's a whole nother story.
Yeah, that's right. Well, believe me, I put myself in plenty of danger, Scott, as you know.
I want to spend some time on the security thing at the appropriate time, because I hear you when you say literally you want to quit because of it, and it will drive a lot of people out of politics.
And it will.
I believe it'll drive a lot of people into politics that we don't necessarily want representing us. But that's a whole nother show. Tell me what you thought when you heard that Charlie Kirk was shot and what it now means.
So, like everybody, we are all processing. And by the way, Scott, we're going to process this for a while. And I think that's Charlie Kirk's final gift to us, is that we're going to think about this in more profound, serious, significant spiritual ways than we were before while he was alive. And I'm so sorry for the sacrifice that his family has made for us to have this discussion. But my immediate thought was, I went straight to prayer, and my prayer was rather short, and it was rather strong. And that is, Lord, help this lead to peace in our country. Please, please, please. Because there's plenty of time for the blame game. There's plenty of time to point fingers at people who we disagree with, which is exactly what Charlie Kirk didn't stand for. He stood for having the discussion. And I do think that's where this is going to lead. While the guttural reaction, Scott, remember when we used to hear a tragic story, or we'd see something, a you know, political violence of some sort? We did process. I mean, 9/11 is a pretty great example, not that terribly long ago, of an event. Now, granted, it was a foreign adversary on our land, but But that led Nancy Pelosi and Dick Armey to sing God Bless America on the steps of the Capitol together. Whereas now there's this tendency to, you know, to respond with harsh rhetoric rather than, you know, what's my role in this? And so that was my initial response. And then just since then, the thing, Scott, and I chuckled because I actually, it makes me smile to think about probably the most common thing I heard, you know, the regular thing I heard from Charlie Kirk in personal conversations with me. And I did not know Charlie well.
I'm gonna point of privilege. I believe I had the two of you exchange text messages and have a conversation on his show, because this is a good example in my mind of Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
He believed. I'll just say this: he had a different worldview related to Vladimir Putin and in Ukraine and what we needed to do.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Than Kevin Cramer did, but he did it with enormous grace. And I'm gonna one more point of privilege. He and I had very different viewpoints on who Donald Trump should select as the vice president of the United States. I was understandably, as you were, an advocate for not only Doug Burgum as a presidential candidate, even that was a long shot, but certainly as VP. And I'll never forget, and Charlie from day one was in J.D. Vance's camp, and we were even texting back and forth, like he would say, enough of your Burgum boy. Stop, whatever. And I saw him in Milwaukee for the first time on a stage. You did too, right in the middle of all the convention. And in a break, he gave me a boyish smile and he said, Scotty, one of us is going to win, and either way, it'll be fine.
That's right. Well, I'm glad. That's a great illustration, by the way. Exactly the point. And the thing that he would say to me occasionally after I do his show, it's the same thing that other talk show hosts say to me from time to time. He said, you know, what I like about you is while you and I disagree on certain things, you always come on. And I'm like, well, that's America, man. I mean, that is America. And that's Charlie Kirk's America. And that's why I say it so passionately. I say it with some affection, but also passionately. We got to do more of that. It shouldn't be hard to go on somebody's talk radio show that you agree with or disagree with. In fact, one of the reasons Charlie Kirk would have me come on his show was because he and I didn't agree on something. He wanted to have a conservative intellectual discussion about a disagreement, not about the agreement. It's like, you know, Armey's axioms. We all know Dick Armey, of course. And one of the things he said, one of his axioms is if you and I agree on everything, one of us isn't necessary. You know,
what a great line in true Dick line. Army fashion. And by the way, a North Dakota boy. There you go. I mean, a Nodaker.
Nodaker.
That's a Nodaker.
Totally.
That he always, Dick Armey always say, you're a Nodaker. I mean, that's some Nodak common sense. There is what it is. I want to just say we welcome your participation in this as well. I think it is important to hear from Senator Cramer, a member of Congress, obviously, and someone that represents us in North Dakota in the middle of this, because I do think at this point in time, we need, I will say, a voice of reason, voices of reason in the middle of this powder keg. And talk radio can be a force for good, and it can be a force for bad. Cable news can be a force for good and a force for bad. Congress can be each of those. It is time now that we appeal to our better angels in all of this. There will be a large segment of the leftist, atheist, diabolical, cold stone heart, Saul Alinsky-like followers that will never hear it. And there'll be a group on the right, not as large, not as violent, maybe well-meaning, but are going to be every bit as I don't know, whatever you want to call them, knuckleheads trying to get on TV and get more social media followers to light a match. So I do think, Senator Cramer, without sounding like I'm sucking up, you're going to be a voice of reason in this. Because you and I disagree probably 4 out of 10 times about stuff. But we still can come here and talk about it. You know?
Well, and remember, a lot of political discourse centers around the degree to which you do believe, you know, I mean, it's a big spectrum. And this is the thing I was thinking about. I've thought about a lot of things like we all have, right? As I was processing some of this, is one of my favorite stories of the founding of this nation was the fact that when the Constitutional Congress, when they were writing the Constitution, one of the biggest fights that they had, and it was rough, almost collapsed the entire place. It almost ended the new experiment that is America. They were rigorous in their debate and their discussion and their disagreements, trying to find common ground, trying to find compromise. But the big one was whether there should be a House or a Senate. Whether the Congress itself, because they had settled on it being unicameral, and whether it would be based on the population of a state or whether every state would have equal, equal representation. And of course, it was Benjamin Franklin, one of the two members that wasn't a Christian, that proclaimed to not be Christian. Now he's a deist, but he rose and he's the one that said we need to have prayer.
Wow.
We need to go to prayer. And that's when he gave that famous, that famous speech we oftentimes hear, the part of the speech where he said, if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without notice, can a nation rise without his aid? And he goes on to talk about, without asking for his aid, we'll never make it. So just think of that. And since that time, Scott, both the United States House of Representatives and the United States Senate have been opening in prayer every single day.
Incredible story. And again, history lessons, that our kids don't get today. And also at that time when he talked about the sparrow falling and the rise of a country, there wasn't Twitter. That to me is the contagion that we really have to be careful with. Can be used for a force for good, but can be a poisonous tool that can rot the minds of our most precious resource. I want to go to call.
Go ahead. But one thing I'd just say before the call, I think that along with all the other mediums that you've talked about, one of the things that we've done is it's easy to dehumanize somebody we disagree with. And once you dehumanize them, then it's pretty easy to hate them. And when it's easy to hate them, your hatred turns to violence. And today our anger becomes bitterness if we're not careful. As we think about Charlie, we just have to think about Charlie's message.
We do indeed. All right. I'm going to go to a call in a second here, and I'm going to tell you that others are welcome. This show will be going for the next 40 minutes without interruption. We ask for grace from our fine sponsors because they make the show go, but today is just about a conversation, really, about the future of this country. Yeah. And at some point, I want to talk about it, and maybe it'll be well into next week. His funeral is a week from tomorrow in Arizona, so there's a time and place for all of this, but I want to have a conversation about how we honor what Charlie Cook stood for and what he did. And I don't know the answer to that. I have a Facebook post up today from a friend who sent me what he thinks. And, I want to continue that conversation because I think that's a part of the healing that is necessary, too, and hopefully an awakening for a lot of people. And I also want to say that we need more voices of reason. And I've seen so far, Kevin, your friend Donald J. Trump be that. And I also I have to say that the foremost eloquent voice of reason has been nobody ever heard of until the last number of hours, and that's the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox.
Has he been something, huh?
Oh my gosh! And we could. So that's the kind of calm we need right now. And he said some version of what I said to the Bismarck Tribune. He said, turn down the temperature, find an off ramp for this. And my vernacular of that was pump the brakes. We need a reset. We really do. And people on the right are going to be angry at me and say, how do you equate this with that? But anyway, let's talk here.